This is Bizarro. For the next hour, be prepared to be entertained, energized, and informed with wacky, crazy, witty, funny news stories that'll make you laugh, maybe cock your head to the side and go, huh? Along with our wacky stories, I'll give you some up-to-date info on live music events and drop some songs along the way. Get ready to have some fun and take a little laughter break. Bizarro with DJ Hafo. What is up, everybody? It is DJ Hafo here on this fine Tuesday. It's a little hot out today in San Rafael, I might add. It's getting up there. Not quite sure what the weather's today, but being out there for multiple hours today for service learning, it was scorching. At least it felt like it, especially for the Bay Area. But, you know, I've been doing fantastic this week. We're heading into the last few weeks of this semester. I'm so excited to get this summer break on the way. It'll be an absolute blast. But today we have some hilarious news stories for you and some live music events in the middle, only on radio.dominican.edu. And today we're just going to get right into the crazy news stories. So a man who allegedly robbed a store with a potato was finally apprehended by the cops. Now I'll read you the story. Providence police have arrested a man who allegedly wielded a potato disguised as a gun during a robbery attempt last week. 34-year-old Gary Deming of Cranston was arrested on robbery charges. Authorities say he pretended he had a gun when he demanded money from a convenience store and dry cleaner April 21st. The convenience store manager chased him off with a baseball bat. A dry cleaner employee gave him a fake $20 from the decoy register. The station reports that Deming is also accused of breaking into his sister's home on the same day as the alleged potato incidents. She told police he took a purse, debit card, and $100 in cash. Oh, man, that is just absolutely ridiculous. Who robs a store with a potato gun? It's not even a potato gun. It's a gun. It's a potato carved to be in the shape of a gun. I will say that is some creativity points right there. I'm not going to lie. I would not have thought of that at all. But, I mean, you might want to choose something a little more believable, maybe like an airsoft gun or a water gun, at least something that looks like it. But a potato? I can't imagine. Unless you spent a really darn long time working on it, I highly doubt that your potato will look anything like a real gun. So I'm sorry, Gary Deming. I'm so sorry you got arrested. But I mean, don't rob places with potato guns. That story is just absolutely ridiculous. But the thing is. I just want to know, how desperate was he that he wanted to rob a dry cleaner's? You know, I've never once passed a dry cleaner's and thought, you know, that place probably has a lot of money inside. Why would you, of all places, a dry cleaner? I mean, I get the convenience store, but why a dry cleaner? And both of them failed. I mean, the dry cleaner employee only gave him a fake $20 bill. And I guess he was satisfied with that because he left. So that $20? You were going to rob a place for $20? That just doesn't seem worth it to me. I don't know. And I still can't believe the convenience store manager actually chased him off with a baseball bat. Serves him right, though. I will say that. On to our next news story. Biker looking for false teeth brings traffic to a halt. So this is a funny story. A motorcyclist brought traffic to a standstill on one of Madrid's busiest highways after he pulled over to look for his false teeth, which flew out of his mouth when he sneezed, according to local media reports. Two municipal police officers approached the motorcyclist Saturday and ordered him to resume his journey for his own safety and that of other drivers on Capital M30 Highway, Europa Press reported. It wasn't known if the man ever actually found his dentures. That I understand where this guy's coming from. You know, dentures are pretty important. They're your teeth. Like, imagine if all your teeth just flew out on the road. I imagine you'd probably want to go looking for them. But there's a point where you gotta go, I'm just gonna let this one go. It's gone. I shouldn't have sneezed while driving my motorcycle with dentures in. I think that's the point where you accept your fail and you go and buy yourself some new teeth. I know they're pretty expensive, but you don't halt traffic altogether to look for your dentures. You just do you realize how ridiculous that sounds? But people are weird in this world, but maybe if they're tight for money, that makes sense. But, you know, pausing a whole busy highway just to get your dentures is just not a logical thing to do. I maybe come back later that night when it's not as crowded, but obviously your dentures could be run over. But I just think it's hilarious that they don't know if the man actually found his dentures or not. So if he did, I hope he's happy. I really do. On to our next news story. A woman who allegedly attacked a boy in a dodgeball rage case is hit with criminal charges. So this is a very... I don't know where to stand on this story. I do have a position, but here, let me read the news story first, and I'll explain what my position is. A Wisconsin mom who allegedly grabbed a boy after he threw a dodgeball in her face has been hit with criminal charges. Dominique Jude, who's 27 years old, said the incident was all a misunderstanding. But the prosecutors do not see it that way. She is accused of attacking a 12-year-old boy who pegged her and her son in the face during a game of trampoline dodgeball at Sky Zone Indoor Trampoline Park in Waukesha. The incident took place during a birthday party over the winter. You know, so clearly, and it says lower in the story that she thinks it's all been blown out of proportion, and she overreacted and whatnot. But allegedly, so this kid was being a particular jerk and threw a dodgeball at her face and her son's face. And my guess is her motherly instincts kicked in and she grabbed him. And allegedly, she told all of the other kids to hit him in the face with the dodgeball. She denies that part, but that's allegedly what happened. So I don't agree with her on any of this. You should never take out your anger on a 12-year-old. Absolutely not. But I do understand why. I mean, her motherly instincts kicked in. The kid was beaten up on her and her son, so she got angry, which makes sense. But you still don't attack or grab a 12-year-old. I mean, that's totally off limits. 12 years old, that's not even a teenager yet. They're young. It's a big, big no-no. I would definitely stay away from doing that. And like I said, I understand why, but that you know what's right and wrong, especially as an adult. And even if your motherly instincts kicked in, you should be able to distinguish that, you know, maybe grabbing and picking up this kid is not the best idea because I could get arrested because this is a minor and I'm a 27-year-old adult. So some people just don't think logically in these type of situations, and again, motherly instincts, but come on, you know what the right thing to do is. A Hawaii driver allegedly hit bikers on purpose at a bike safety event. Hawaii's movement to increase bike safety awareness momentarily hit the brakes on Sunday when a raging allegedly drunk or otherwise impaired driver drove into three cyclists. It was a fight that took place at the Haleiwa Metric Century Ride, a race held each year among Oahu's North Shore between Haika Bay Beach and Kahana Bay in honor of late John B. Kelly, past president of Hawaii Bicycling League and advocate for safer bicycling environments. Five people were injured, including Tad Tinoguchi, the executive director of the Hawaii Bicycling League, who was sent to the hospital for an ankle injury. He told the Honolulu Star-Advertiser that the driver of the car, 22-year-old Chevis Santiago, was very aggressive and threatening when he passed by on a support vehicle. Hawaii is the 12th in the nation in commuters who bike, 2.3%. Portland is the first, 6.1%. But bikers, car drivers, and officials across the nation are still seemingly perplexed about how to get everyone to share the road. Now, I understand, like, frustration with bikers, because sometimes it is a little frustrating when they're in the middle of the road, which I know they're legally allowed to do in residential areas and such, but when they're going severely below the speed limit, I really wish they would just pull over to the side. So I get being angry at bicyclists. I'm not trying to out them or offend anybody with that statement. I'm just saying that sometimes I do get honestly frustrated with bikers on the road, and so I understand being angry, but hitting three cyclists on the road, I just, that is so horrible. That's hurting another human being. If you're angry with cyclists, sure, but they're not hurting you. They're not hurting you. You're, maybe they're extending your drive. They're making it a little longer, but sure. And maybe your blood pressure rises because you're a little angry. Sure. But they're not hurting you. But then do you go out and hurt them? That is absolutely ridiculous. Come on. Like, that is, I just can't even believe someone would actually do that, because these people are just three cyclists at a bike safety event. They're trying to promote sharing the road and everything like that. I just don't understand why you would want to ruin such a day like that. Obviously said he was allegedly drunk or otherwise impaired, so either drunk or on drugs or something. So clearly his judgment was most definitely off, but even then, come on. I don't know. That really bugged me when I read that earlier. And I figured it was a wacky story and kind of crazy story. Not a funny story, especially not a funny story at all. But I felt like it was crazy enough that I needed to share it with you guys, because that made me very angry when I read it. So onto our next news story. A blue-colored UFO was videotaped by a Netherlands resident, and it remains unexplained. Now I watched the video, because apparently the guy filmed it, and I watched the video, and what it looks like to me is that it actually has like kind of the flying saucer look in a way, but you can never honestly ensure the validity of these kinds of articles or videos, because video editing has become so immensely, it just, you can create and change anything about a video now, and pretty easily too. Like, the average Joe could spend just 2 weeks learning certain programs and everything and would be able to pull something off. And so I don't know whether it's real or not, but I think it could be real, mainly because I have an explanation for it. When looking at the video, you can see at one point that it looks like it has a cockpit, and it looks like it could just be an experimental like Air Force vehicle or something. Obviously, this was in the Netherlands, not the United States, but it could be a test run for a new kind of aircraft or something like that. And so that, I think that would be the best explanation, because while it did kind of have a flying saucer look, I don't think it was a UFO or something. It was probably just the country testing out a new kind of equipment or something, and it looks really cool, I'm not going to lie. But, and I don't know. I always am a little skeptical about UFO videos and sightings, because you never know who's honestly telling the truth, because people will do absolutely anything for attention, especially nowadays. And so that's a really easy way to gain attention, is to say you saw a UFO, because everyone always has that question on their mind, you know, is there life outside of Earth? And so while I understand curiosity and everything, I just can't, obviously I can't confirm or deny whether this is real or not, but my absolute best guess would be that it is fake. Or a aircraft vehicle that's just experimental. The chance of it actually truly being aliens is very, very low. Also, UFO stands for unidentified flying object, so a UFO doesn't even mean it's aliens. It just means that we don't know what the heck is flying above us right now. So, who knows? Who knows what it could be? And I will post a link on my Twitter page at DJ Halfo with the video coming up shortly at the break, if you want to check out the video. So, yeah, check that out. And follow me on Twitter if you would like to. It's at DJ Haffo, HAFFO. And again, you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. This is my show Bizarro with DJ Haffo, if you're just now tuning in. I thank you very much for listening. I love the audience so, 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 so much. And now on to the next news story. This news story actually got to me a little emotional, a little bit. It got me a little emotional because I'll just read the story. There's no reason for me to babble on. A 51-year-old cancer patient helped stop a fleeing bank robber by ramming her pickup truck into the suspect's getaway car. The parking lot collision between Tina Gleim's Chevy S10 and the alleged thief's Alexis Laskowski's SUV badly damaged the front wheel of the suspect's vehicle on Thursday morning. Laskowski drove away from the PNC Bank in Warrington, Pennsylvania, but had to abandon the broken auto about a quarter mile from the heist, according to Fox 43. And this is a quote from her herself. "I thought, I can't stop him any other way, and I might as well hit him," she said to the York Dispatch. She was outside the bank when a shaken-up teller told her that they had been robbed. "I saw an opportunity that I could stop a criminal from getting away from it." Gleam was recently diagnosed with colon cancer. She's not planning on driving her 1995 Chevy pickup anymore, according to York Daily Record. Police arrested 38-year-old Laskowski soon afterwards, which is very good. And his bail was actually set for $500,000. $500,000. That is an incredible amount of money. So, I mean, don't go robbing banks, otherwise that is going to be your bail. So, the reason this got a little emotional to me is, I don't know why, but when I heard that she's not planning on driving her 1995 Chevy pickup anymore, I don't know if it was because of the damages or she's sick or what it was, but I'm just so happy that she was able to stop a bank robber, because there's nothing cooler than being able to say you stopped a bank robber, because that is just awesome. That is so cool. And so major props to Tina Gleim and her Chevy S10 because they stopped a bank robbery, which is amazing. So, and the suspect allegedly confessed to 3 other bank holdups in Pennsylvania in February and March, which is really cool. So they really got 3 bank robberies off the list. So that's amazing. I still can't believe we haven't advanced technology enough so that bank robberies can't happen. I know robbing is something, like bank robberies is like the classic kind of robbery because that's where all the money is, but I can't believe that we haven't invented something or some kind of protection or security system to prevent that in some way. I know we have the buttons under the desk where you call for, it's like calling 911, and the paint thing where if you open up a bag of money, it shoots out paint that kind of blinds you. I know about all that, but I wish that they could have some kind of better security or something like that. I have no idea, though. But, and just like earlier, I believe it was the first or second Bizarro, I read a news story about a woman who was locked inside of a bank, and they weren't rushing to get her. And I couldn't believe that, because with bank robbery, that like bank robbery is like probably their number one concern, and here they have a woman locked inside of their bank. She went to the bathroom or something for a long time, and then she tried to get out, but they were closed and locked all the doors. So she was inside of a bank, and no one was coming to get her out. For it was like something like 2 hours it took them to get her out, because no one had the time, I guess, to go save a woman who was inside of a bank. If I were her, I would have just snagged a couple of 20s for my troubles. I don't know, but I would never rob a bank. But, I mean, come on. You're sitting there for 2 hours waiting for cops to come get you out of a bank. And I do remember one quote. She said that they told her to try to find a window to crawl out of. So you lock a woman in a bank, and you go, just find a window to crawl out of. Yeah, no, that is so that is so ridiculous. Alrighty, guys, we are going to head into our first break here. I'm going to play some music, and when we come back, I'm going to be talking about some live music events in the area and such, and outside lands, of course, which is coming up this summer, August 8th through the 10th. I'm so excited. I absolutely cannot wait for outside lands. I'm beyond excited. So, in honor of Outside Lands, I'm going to play. I'm gonna give you a surprise, and you're gonna find out. All right. So, I will be right back after this short break.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that was Tiesto, Red Lights. Tiesto is the main electronic dance headliner at Outside Lands, which I am so excited for. I've been a fan of Tiesto for a long time, but he's actually been around since the early 90s, I believe. And he's one of those old DJs that still keeps up with the times, you know, releases hit after hit. So I'm a huge fan of Tiesto, so I absolutely cannot wait for that. I think he's closing out on Sunday night, which is just about what every headline electronic artist did for Outside Lands. In 2012, I saw Skrillex. It was the last night, and he closed out Outside Lands for the electronic show. And then last year, I believe it was Cascade. Yes, it was Cascade, who closed out the show the whole weekend, and it was absolutely incredible. The feeling of connection between you and just about 100,000 other people listening to this electronic artist just play his stuff, and you're dancing, and just the level of connection to the people around you just really grows, and it's a wonderful experience. So I will definitely be there on Sunday night, and I cannot wait. So with Outside Lands, actually, I have something that interests me quite a bit that I want to share with you. I'm obviously not confirming this. I'm just a college student at Dominican, though I will say it looks somewhat promising. So obviously Kanye West is going to be at Outside Lands, and what's cool about this is that Kanye and Jay-Z and Beyonce are very close. They're very close. They do a lot of records together and whatnot. And Jay-Z and Beyonce will be finishing up their summer tour in SF at AT&T Park on August 5th. This happens to be 3 days before Kanye's set at Outside Lands. I'm really, really wondering if Jay-Z or Beyonce or both will be at Kanye's set at Outside Lands as a surprise guest, because he's pulled out surprise guests before at Coachella and whatnot. So I would not be surprised if he just pulls out Jay-Z. And that would be unbelievable. That would be so incredible to see that, to see Jay-Z and Kanye. So obviously I cannot confirm or deny anything, but that would be incredible to see Jay-Z or Beyonce or both performing with Kanye. That would be amazing. I'm a little skeptical that Beyonce would actually come out, because Beyonce is a different genre, but I'm not so sure. But I mean, Kanye has recently been seen playing his awesome remix of Drunk in Love live, so I guess he could integrate both of them. I'm not sure. So I don't know, but that would be extremely, extremely cool, and I just cannot wait. I know I talk about Outside Lands almost all the time on this show, this section of the show, especially for the past few weeks, because the lineup came out and everything like that. So I've just been super, super excited about it. And they actually released the single day lineup, and I don't believe I talked too much about that. So I will go on and look up the single day lineups, and we can talk about it. And what's really cool about the single day this year is that the headliners are actually all separate. Like, I don't have many competing artists this year, where compared to how it was on during last year, because last year they had so many competing artists, and most of the artists that I really want to see are all separate days. So I'm so excited about that. Like, I do believe like Tiesto is playing, that would be playing at the same time as The Killers, and I'm not a huge Killers fan, so I get to see Tiesto. The only big problem that I have is that I do think there's no confirming, because they haven't released the exact set list, but I'm just taking a guess that that Disclosure will play at the same time as Kanye, which is cool, and it's a respectable decision, because they always close with an electronic artist, and so that would be Disclosure, and then obviously they have to have the headliner close, which is Kanye West. So that just makes total sense. It makes total sense. I'm just disappointed, because I'd really like to see both, because that would be awesome. Be totally awesome. But, you know, you can't have it all. Can't have it all. But upcoming concerts for the Bay Area other than Outside Lands. I know this is I'm bringing it back to where we used to be. Mastodon is coming to the Fox Theater in Oakland. Now, I'm not a big Mastodon fan. I'm not a big Mastodon fan myself, but I kind of was into like heavy metal back when I was in middle school. I was trying to be all edgy and angst, but I never really listened to Mastodon, but I have heard good things about them. If you're into heavy metal, I've heard they're very good. So Mastodon is coming to the Fox Theater in Oakland on May 1st, and the show starts at 7:30. Ingrid Michaelson is coming to the Fox Theater in Oakland on May 5th. And Tycho is coming to Harlow's in Sacramento. Sorry, I'm messing up my words today. Tycho will also be at Outside Lands, because he is the perfect role for Outside Lands. He's the cool electronic vibe, but he's got the total hippie kind of relaxed mood, and it's absolutely perfect. But he's coming to Sacramento, if you're in the Sacramento area, on May 10th. That's actually my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. So he'll be in Sacramento on May 10th, Tycho. I would highly recommend to see him. I'm a huge fan of him, but I'm just going to hold out until I see him at Outside Lands. Zion I is coming to the Independent in San Francisco, California, Friday, May 16th. That'll be awesome, because Zion I is actually one of my favorite kind of hip-hop rap guys, because I remember one time my friend Joey went to Dimple Records, I believe it was, and Zion I was there. And Zion I sat and hung out with him for, I think, it was like 30 minutes or something, and they talked for the full 30 minutes. Which is incredible, especially for an artist like Zion I to do. And so I've had massive amounts of respect for him ever since. So Gladkill is coming to the Independent in San Francisco, California. They're actually opening for Future Rock. But believe it or not, I've actually never heard of Future Rock. But I do know of Gladkill. And Gladkill I saw when I went to go see Bass Nectar at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in... it was October of 2012, I believe it was. It's getting... wow, that's almost a year and a half ago now. That's crazy. But I saw Gladkill. He opened for Bass Nectar, and Gladkill was actually a really cool experience because he wasn't as hard and as hard hitting as Bass Nectar was. He was a little more relaxed and taken back, which surprised me honestly, because I'm going to a Bass Nectar concert, which is, I mean, just his name, it's bass and it's this crazy sound. But Gladkill was more of a melodic kind of relaxed, still dubsteppy, but it still hit hard sometimes, but it was a cool sound, and I'm surprised he's still opening for people like Future Rock, because I think Gladkill has a unique enough sound where I would think he would have built his own fan base by now. But, you know, I can't predict what people are going to like and what they won't like, but I certainly love Gladkill, and I think I have two of his EPs now, and good stuff. It's great stuff. If you haven't checked it out, I would check it out. If you want to see him live, go to the Independent at 9 o'clock on May 17th, and you'll get to see him there. Foals and Cage the Elephant are coming to the Fox Theater in Oakland on May 20th at 7:30 p.m. So, I've never seen Cage the Elephant, and it's actually kind of funny. I'm a bigger Cage the Elephant fan, but I've seen Foals live. I've never seen Cage the Elephant live, but I have seen Foals live, and Foals were actually very cool. I got to hug the lead singer, it was the lead singer. The lead singer, because he came out into the crowd at Outside Lands, and just so happened, he walked right next to me, and that was amazing. I gave him a little, like, over-the-shoulder hug, and that was incredible. And they had an amazing energy. Literally, he jumped out into the crowd and played a whole song in the crowd. So you can imagine that is a whole level of connection you're not getting with a lot of different artists. And Cage the Elephant is really cool. I love their sound. I've never seen them live. The one time I've heard anyone talk about seeing them live was when they opened for the Foo Fighters in Sacramento, and I had an older friend, he's like 30, tell me that they weren't so good. But I guess that could be just because he's older and he's not with the times, you know. So I think it'd be a safe bet to go see Foals and Cage the Elephant. I absolutely love both the bands. Again, seen Foals live and thought they were fantastic, so I can't recommend that enough. So Tuesday, May 20th at the Fox Theater in Oakland. This concert I'm very excited about. I don't know currently if I'm going to be able to go, but I would really, really like to. I'm having an internal conflict. So Kid Cudi is coming to Bill Graham Civic Auditorium May 23rd. And I love Kid Cudi. Don't get me wrong. I love Kid Cudi. I talked about this two episodes ago, how I'm a little disappointed with his new album and his album before that. I'm actually almost very disappointed with both of those albums. I just don't think they're as good as what the old Cudi was like. And the old Cudi, like Man on the Moon 1 and Man on the Moon 2, were just absolutely fantastic albums, cover to cover. Just, they were incredible. And the next albums, he had Wizard, and then he had Indicud, and then he had this new one that I cannot remember the name of. It has something to do with space. I do remember that. And I've listened to all three, and they've just gotten progressively worse, in my opinion, with each album. Wizard was pretty good, had some good songs. Indicud had two or three good songs, and then this space album, I can't remember the name. It's just not what I would like to see Cudi doing. Now, obviously, artists are going to change over time, and that's expected. But if you read the reviews on iTunes, then you'll begin to realize that the fans aren't really liking it either. because this new album was more towards kind of people on drugs, honestly. It's more for like acid trips and things like that, because that's honestly what it says in the comments too. But it's very psychedelic, kind of cool sounds, and him talking about stuff, and it's I don't know, it's pretty, it's cool, but it's not what I'd like to see Cuddy doing. The one thing that really is tugging me towards this show, if it was just Kid Cudi, I could probably pass it up. But there is a secondary or a opener, and it is G-Eazy. Now, G-Eazy is so good, and I would love to be able to see G-Eazy and Kid Cudi at the same venue. That would be absolutely amazing. I'm just a little worried that Cudi is going to play mostly his new album and not a whole lot of his old albums, which would make sense because the new album just came out and he wants to promote it. But honestly, I'd much rather hear him perform the first two albums, because I know every word to every song on those two albums and I love it so much. But G-Eazy, he's just amazing. He's got a cool, funky vibe. If you haven't checked him out, check him out right now. It's spelled G-Eazy. E-A-Z-Y, G-Eazy, and he's absolutely fantastic. I had some buddies see him in Sacramento probably about a year ago now, and they said it was one of the best concerts they've ever been to. So that's the one thing that really keeps me wanting to go to that concert, and it's Friday, May 23rd at 8 p.m. at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in San Francisco. Cannot wait. I don't know. I'm just so torn, as I said. I'm so torn. But up next, there is, I just lost my page. I'm so sorry. Robin Thicke is coming to Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. As you know, it was rescheduled from March, which no doubt pissed a lot of people off. But July 18th, and the show starts at 8 p.m. So Robin Thicke, I don't know. I don't know what to think about him, because he's cool, but he just seems kind of full of himself. I have no way to know that, but just the way he presents himself in public and everything really has me to think that he is kind of full of himself. So I just, that's what I base my opinion off of, and I will not be attending the Robin Thicke concert, if you're wondering. So hopefully, I don't know. And to reschedule on such short notice, I don't know if he was sick or what it was, but I don't know. I have no idea. Carrie Underwood is coming to Lake Tahoe Outdoor Arena at Harvey's in Stateline, Nevada, Friday, July 18th. Now, Carrie Underwood is an amazing, amazing artist. I'm not personally a big fan. I can appreciate her artistic style and ability, so I will say that she is a very talented vocalist. She knows what she's doing. She can write amazing songs, and I'm blown away every time I listen to her music, but it's just not particularly my style that I'd listen to on a daily, day-to-day basis. So, but yeah, if you want to check out Carrie Underwood, it's Friday, July 18th, Lake Tahoe Outdoor Arena at Harvey's in Stateline, Nevada. And the last one that I will talk about is Paul freaking McCartney. I know, I can't believe that I just said those words myself. Paul McCartney is coming to Candlestick Park in San Francisco, California. But it gets better than that. It gets even better. He is closing Candlestick Park. This is the farewell show. It is the last show at Candlestick Park. And it is also the anniversary to the, oh man, what was it? I just had it in my head. I believe it was the Beatles' first show in San Francisco or something like that at Candlestick Park. I don't know if it was their first show in San Francisco. Something special with the Beatles happened at Candlestick Park, and it's the anniversary of that, so it's a big, big deal. I'm so sorry I can't remember that. I had it in my head and just disappeared. But Paul McCartney, it's the farewell to Candlestick show, and I want to be there so, so, so badly. But unfortunately, it's Thursday, August 14th. I will already be on campus and doing work with all my little torchies for next year. I'm a part of the Torch program, so I'm going to be a mentor for the Torch program next year. So I cannot wait for that, but it will unfortunately make me miss Paul McCartney. Now, I did see Paul McCartney at Outside Lands, which was amazing, though I would love to see him again. I mean, he's one of the freaking Beatles. The Beatles, like, they bridged countries. That band is the most influential band in history, no doubt. And I don't think anyone's going to argue with me on that statement, because just look at everything they happened. They revolutionized. I think that's they revolutionized everything about pop and rock and they just produced hit after hit after hit, and they were just the biggest thing in the whole world. And to be able to see one of the Beatles again would be just incredible. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break here. I'm going to play some music. When we get back, we're going to wrap it up with some crazy and outrageous news stories, which should be a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And to close it all off, I'm going to play you a lovely song called Find You by Zedd.
Silent love calling faith to shadow me through your hallways. New echoes you can feel and rehearse the way you heal.
Make them dance just like you, cause you make me
right, that was Find You by Zedd, one of my favorite songs currently, because it is just, I love the melody, the electronics that Zedd uses, and the vocals are incredible. I absolutely love that song so much. I actually first heard that song, and I couldn't, the radio station that I heard it on wouldn't didn't say who it was by or anything, and I thought it sounded a lot like Zedd, but I wasn't sure. And so I had to go for like 2 weeks without knowing for sure what that song was or even what it was called. So I finally figured out what it was called and downloaded it. And yeah, but on to our crazy and outrageous news stories today. A Rio de Janeiro woman was getting interviewed about street crime by Brazil's RJTV when a man ran up and attempted to steal her necklace in footage published by Globo TV on Wednesday. In the video, a reporter asked the woman if she is worried about crime in the city center just before an unidentified man pops into the frame and snatches her gold necklace. So, I watched the video. And I just posted it to Twitter if you'd like to check it out, at DJHaffo, at DJHAFFO, if you want to check out the video. And I just watched the video, and after watching it, it looks pretty real, to be honest. But, I don't know, I can't help thinking it might be fake, because it brings nothing but publicity to the TV channel, and it's a pretty easy thing to set up, and it just seems like it would be a total setup because it's so ironic, because they're interviewing this woman about how she feels about crime in Brazil, or their street crime in Brazil, and a man comes up and steals her necklace. So it just seems like it could definitely be a faked scenario, because that's almost too good to be true to happen on TV. But I guess, you know, Brazil's crime is really, really bad. So you never really know. But I just post the video on Twitter if you want to check it out yourself and make that decision yourself. But when the man comes up to snatch her necklace, she is able to grab onto the jewelry, so he only steals the chain, which is good. And they police was reportedly later apprehended by the cops, which is very good. And so luckily, the what was kind of funny about the video was that the reporter actually booked it after him, but was not able to catch up to him, and it looked like it was a little kid, to be honest. And so the thing that makes it so unbelievable to me is that no person is going to see someone being filmed by a camera walk up and think, I'll just get away with this. I mean, granted, her attention is elsewhere, but you're being filmed, and they have your face on camera. So I don't think that I just don't know. So it could have been faked, but even then, it said here he was apprehended by the cops. So if it was a real arrest, then I guess it must be real. But just the judgment there is so off. I mean, to think you can get away with stealing someone's jewelry in front of a camera is just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. On to our next news story. A group of dolphins apparently came to the aid of a British long-distance swimmer just in the nick of time. Adam Walker was on a 16-mile swim in the choppy waters of New Zealand's Cook Strait on April 22nd when he spotted a great white shark beneath him. Yahoo News reports, a pod of 10 dolphins quickly surrounded him and stayed by his side until the shark swam off. Walker posted images of his guardian dolphins on Facebook the day after the rigorous swim. He said, I'd like to think they were protecting me and guiding me home. So I love this. The article here has pictures, which I will post to Twitter as well. And it's very cool to see that you can never really tell whether or not it's completely true. Like, was there really a shark under him? And were they really guiding him home or not? But it's nice for us to believe that there really is, that dolphins are actually so smart that they would think to protect a human being from a shark. Now, it doesn't say anything about the shark was aggressive or was heading at him, but the shark was below him, which is a very scary thing. And to have a swarm of like 10 dolphins surround you is pretty comforting in that scenario. So I will say that is a cute and funny story, because that's just awesome. I've always loved dolphins, and mainly because they're so smart. They are, I think they're the second smartest animal behind us humans. I think they have reasoning, they have emotions, they have just about everything we do. And I believe we're running scientific tests to see if they have a language or if we can communicate to them. And it's crazy to think about how smart they are. Take a chance to research it one day, and it will surprise you about how brilliant dolphins actually are. And they it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. On to our next news story. We have a Jersey toddler destroys a monk's sand display. Now, what's funny about this is I have a philosophy and religions of Asia class, and we just talked about these. It's called a sand mandala, and it's an intricate, colorful piece of art made from millions of grains of sand. And it literally looks like a painting or a mosaic kind of deal, and it's all made with fine little colored pieces of sand. And apparently a New Jersey, just little toddler, youngling, walked up to it and pushed it and smudged it. And the sad thing about this is that it took the Tibetan monks 5 days to make this. 5 days. And this little kid just comes up and is like, oh, I want to play with sand. So it's obviously disappointing to the monks, but even one of the monks said, what can you do? it's hilarious. What can you do? And what works is that they were able to fix the problem within, I think they said it was 2 or 3 hours. 2 or 3 hours, they fixed the smudge, and they ended up destroying the mandala anyway, because that's what you do. You build it up for 5 days, and then you destroy it to show that, hey, that's life, is the essential goal of that. And I think that's a really cool tradition. I just feel so sorry for the monks. They weren't ready for it to be destroyed yet. They were still showing it off, and just this little kid comes up and ruins it. But like they said, what can we do, was what one of the monks said. And there was actually another monk that actually wasn't as quite as happy. He said it was so beautiful, and the next thing, it's gone. Which is quite sad, coming from probably one of the guys that made it. So, but you know, can you really blame a 3-year-old? You really can't. They don't know what's right from wrong, really, at that age. But on to our next news story. There's a man on Instagram named Dan Bilzerian, and he's kind of known to be like a playboy type. He's an extreme partier, and people follow him to kind of keep up on his crazy lifestyle. He's a professional poker player, and he's extremely fit. He's extremely physically active. He looks like he takes steroids, but I don't know if he does or not, but he looks huge. And a video on Instagram, it was not on Instagram. It was leaked later. He was throwing a porn star into a pool off of his roof, and it went horribly, horribly wrong. So, and not all can be put the blame on him, but honestly, it's a stupid idea to throw anything off your roof into the pool, let alone a human being. So he picks up she's a naked porn star, and throws her into the pool. Now, for one, this is just such a stupid idea, but then she, on the way down, breaks her foot on the side of the pool because he did not throw her far enough. But unfortunately, well, not all the blame can be put on him, because if the video, one of the people tweeted, a watcher tweeted that if you look at the video frame by frame, you can see she held on to his shirt, like totally getting rid of any momentum she had, so she kind of fell straight down into the concrete and broke her foot. And if you watch the video, the crack is just awful. And I don't think, obviously, no charges are being pressed, because it was a totally, she wasn't against the idea of being thrown off the roof. She just didn't expect it to go wrong. So I just can't believe the stupidity in this. I mean, I get you're a party boy, you like to party, but come on, you know, you don't just throw naked women off your roof into the pool and break their foot. I can't believe it. All right, on to our final news story. It's kind of an update on a story we talked about last week before we interviewed Paul Racanello. We talked about a stowaway on an airplane. It was a 15-year-old boy who stowed himself away on a flight to Hawaii and in the wheel well, and he survived. A 16-year-old boy. Sorry, I said 15-year-old boy. Who was a 16-year-old boy who went into the wheel well of a plane and survived the whole flight from San Jose to Hawaii, and which blows my mind because I believe there was a study that said there's been 100 cases of this happening in the past in the history of when they started keeping track of that sort of thing, and only 25 have survived, and he's one of them. So he had a 1 in 4 chance of surviving that. And apparently he was unconscious from about the time of takeoff to the time of an hour after landing, and he just started wandering around the Hawaiian airport before very obviously very soon being picked up by the FBI, because random people walking around on airports is very sketchy, and you don't want that. And so just a crazy story overall, but I have an update to it today. They found out the reason why he did it. It wasn't just he picked up and left. It was that it's actually a very kind of sad story, but it's not too sad. His parents were divorced, and his father told the son that his mother had died. And so in his anger and sadness, he just went to the airport and just out of rage and sadness, he hopped into an airplane. You do crazy things when you're sad and enraged, especially when you're 16. You don't have the best judgment. And obviously that could have killed him. I still think that would be a very traumatic thing to hear, that your mother is dead. And so she's not dead. Luckily, she is not dead. The father was just being a jerk about it and totally ruined this guy's day, obviously. So, and so that was his reason for doing the thing that he did. And apparently he was also looking for her, which I know she doesn't live in Hawaii, but I think he was just trying to get to the airport so he could fly to her or something, to be with her. And obviously he got on a wrong plane because he ended up in Hawaii. So very kind of sad story, but luckily everyone is okay. He is okay. He didn't die on the flight. The mother's not dead. So at least it's a happy ending in the end. But very, very sad story. And we are heading into the very end of this episode of Bizarro with DJ Hafa, only on radio.dominican.edu. And I thank you so much for listening today. It's been an absolute blast. We talked about Outside Lands. We talked about crazy news stories, all of the above. It was an absolute blast. I thank you guys so much for watching, and I will see you guys next week.